Brett Bielema butt dialed me. So those are three. So that's a little bit lighter.
You're listening to the Orlando Sentinel's College Gridiron 365 podcast. Hosts Brant Parsons and Matt Mershell give their perspective on the hottest topics in college football. Now let's get on with the show.
And welcome. I'm Matt Mershell of the Orlando Sentinel. You're listening to the College Gridiron 365 podcast, day two SEC Media Days. And it's a pleasure to be joined by SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. Commissioner, thank you for joining us.
Yeah,
and
thanks. Good to be here.
What was your going into this to this year's conference? What was your message that you really wanted to kind of get over to everybody?
In thinking about our history, we have coming up in September the 50th anniversary, if you will, of the first game in which a varsity football game between two conference teams, two SEC teams, in which an African American football player participated. And we've had different moments. You know, we had a baseball player at Tulane in 65. We've had institutions, Missouri, who had a basketball player and a football player in 58, who integrated their athletic department. But between SEC teams, 67 was the first time. So knowing that there was that anniversary, it seemed appropriate to me as I was thinking through options for what I might communicate to talk not only about that event, but also about people on each of our 14 campuses who contributed to literally the face of the SEC today, and to remember and honor those stories a bit. So that became the focus quite quickly, and that's what you heard on Monday as we opened the 4 days of Media Days in that first session.
There was so much success we were talking a little bit about in your remarks. You talk about the baseball season, mm-hmm. softball, you know, football, obviously, just a little bit short last year. But, I mean, it's got to be a good feeling when you look at up and down, not just on the field, but in the classrooms, how well the SEC has been able to do.
Oh, very good. In fact, you know, Dan Mullen just talked about having qualified for a bowl game in a different way. They didn't have the win and loss record, but under his leadership, the program's academic progress rate improved to such a level of being among the best in the country, and they accessed the St. Petersburg Bowl as a result. But as you look over the landscape of the year, maybe the most remarkable fact is that all 13 SEC softball teams played in the NCAA tournament. I mean, that's the entire conference. That's not happened at that level. I think there was a time when an eight-team conference in the 70s had something like that. But for all 13 softball teams to earn that opportunity is both remarkable and a tribute to what happens on our campuses. The baseball World Series final with Florida and LSU, just like the women's basketball national championship game with South Carolina and Mississippi State, just like the Elite Eight final in Madison Square Garden between Florida and South Carolina, all were special, and I think represent the level of excellence present in this league. And, you know, in a competitive endeavor, there are times you end up short. So we were 10 seconds or so short in Tampa, and that's a credit to Clemson. But I know all 14 of our teams now are focused on winning a conference championship with the idea that gives them the platform for the national championship in the coming season.
What do you think is the challenge for the league as you guys get ready for the football season to start up?
Well, particularly as football, making sure the game remains healthy in a global perspective, talking about the medical support that's already provided to our campuses, the adjustments around player safety that will alter preseason practice, so two-a-days are now a thing of the past. How we officiate the game is a piece of that. And I spoke on Monday about the rules committee at the NCAA level looking at issues like blocking below the waist and how that might be managed in a different way. And even some of the blindside backside blocking that can maybe be exciting but puts players in jeopardy, I think, is important to keep looking at. And then we've innovated with technology from an officiating standpoint with collaborative instant replay. We want to see that continue. And I think length of games, and I don't want to overstate that because I actually don't hear a lot that it's too long on a regular basis, but then we'll have these circumstances where a regulation game is at, near, or just above 4 hours in length. And I think that raises the conversation to say, what can be done to manage the game in a more consistent manner? Are there adjustments that can be made? And we're doing some of those around TV advertising and around halftime and in-game movement to keep the games moving along. And I'm interested in managing time appropriately, but not at the loss of what's special and unique about college football. So those are some of the things that are concerns both at a conference level and more globally about football. At a conference level, we didn't have the kind of postseason record we want, so we want to ascend back to the previous year when we won more bowl games than any other conference had in history. So those are some relatively quick hits with lengthy explanations on that question.
Is the game itself, I mean, being one of the league leaders of a Power 5 league, is the game itself going into to this year, is it feel like there's some stability maybe, I guess, in the game, college football itself? Or, you know, 4 or 5 years ago we were talking a lot about conference realignment, mm-hmm. those kind of issues. Yeah. I mean, do you feel like now we're in a stable position, or is because of the changing landscape with TV and everything, is there some concern there maybe?
Well, I don't look at the – if we boil it down to like a conference expansion membership, you know, I'm asked that, but it's not a front burner issue for us. We're focused on the excellence around our 14 universities, and our competitive conversation represents that we're achieving that objective, and we want to make sure that is sustained. And then – when you transition into the changes in the media landscape, if I look beyond football, that becomes an ongoing conversation for us. Obviously, our media partnerships with CBS and ESPN are important. 3 years in to the SEC network, that has taken off in an incredible way. And what ESPN has done from a distribution standpoint to make sure we're positioned on all of these emerging distribution platforms is unique to us. You know, other conference or sport-specific networks are not present on everyone. But it'll continue to change, that landscape, how people consume media. The fact we're having this conversation
in the on a context, podcast. Yeah,
but that's a representation of the adaptation of print media to new realities and how people consume information. You and I even talked about, how I've pivoted a bit at 53 years old. And so I don't know that those – your question was about stability in the game, and I think there is stability in the game. There's instability all around us, and so one can never sit back and become complacent. I think it's really helpful to have a little bit of bite in one's stomach and sit on the edge of their seat, because that's the lives we lead in this endeavor of intercollegiate athletics.
I'm going a little bit lighter now. These 4 days, what is your favorite part? You've been a part of this for a while. What is your favorite part of these 4 days?
I enjoy the interaction here with our head coaches, a little bit more relaxed, believe it or not, before they head up to the microphone. So we'll talk about where have you been. Derek Mason was just out in Colorado, and Dan Mullen was in Foxborough at a U2 concert, and Brett Bielema butt dialed me. So those are three. So that's a little bit lighter. But I've actually now 3 years in, student athletes recognize me and I recognize them, because we've communicated in different ways. And I'll meet new people here. And those are among the most enjoyable. Of course, the media questions are at the top of the list of the enjoyable experiences. So I want to be clear about that.
Yeah. You mentioned Dan Mullen and you two. And is he, of all the coaches that you deal with, is he one of the more bigger music guys? I mean, because I know you're a music fan, and I wanted to wrap this up with some of that music. But which of the coaches do really kind of?
I've talked to Hugh Freeze a lot about music.
Okay.
As well, maybe it's the state of Mississippi, a head coach endeavor. But Dan and I were talking about him not going to a meeting in Indianapolis, which he was happy to do. And he said, "Actually, I'm in Boston tonight before the U2 concert." So that's where that one started. Brett and I've talked a little bit about music as well. Other guys, I've talked to books and vacation spots. And I mean, that's a representation, Matt, literally of part of the fun kind of behind the scenes for me, is you to have interactions that aren't about officiating or recruiting rules or waivers.
Well, thanks a lot, Commissioner. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
And I enjoyed it. And stay tuned for more on the Gridiron 365 podcast. And stay tuned for more stories at OrlandoSentinel.com.
The College Gridiron 365 podcast is produced by the Orlando Sentinel and hosted by Brant Parsons and Matt Mershell. Come back often and be sure to add the College Gridiron 365 podcast to your RSS and iTunes feeds. Follow everything college football at OrlandoSentinel.com.